This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's do this. Let's bring him in now. Let's call Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul. Green and Gold Analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by the Wisconsin Brewers Guild. Want a chance to meet Green Bay legend John Kuhn and support prostate cancer research? Just download the Wisconsin Tap Chaser app for details.
Bring him in now. It's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold Analyst. And so, Paul, last night, as I mentioned, kind of a tale of two halves. I mean, defensively, they didn't look good. There was a couple of guys out of place. The offense looks sluggish. I think the word that was used in the first half was unprepared. They're booed off the field at halftime, and then they come back and everything starts to click. I still don't know what to make of this team. I'd like to think that it's the latter and not the former, but give me your synopsis from last evening.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, this is the kind of day that I think sports radio hosts probably dream of, right? I mean, to have a game like that that has so much to talk about, I don't even know how you're going to be able to cover it all in 4 hours because there's so much to dissect. And I think the tale of two halves is exactly correct. The Packers looked, in the first half, out-everythinged. I don't know if that's a correct verb or not, but they looked out-everythinged, out-coached, out-played, out-schemed. They looked ill-prepared. It was the kind of thing, Bill, that if that game continued on in that manner, with or without Rodgers, like let's say the Rodgers injury never happens and sort of the miraculous comeback never takes place. You know, it's the kind of like next day, Monday morning thing where if the first half performance was the entire performance, where I think you'd have to start wondering and thinking aloud and talking about like, what the hell is wrong with this team? Like, how do they come out looking this poor? And then Aaron Rodgers and his ability to not just play at that level on essentially one leg, but to lead his teammates and to get them believing and to get the offensive lineman, which, by the way, Justin McCray in the first half looked like he didn't belong in the NFL, much less a starting guard. He looked awful. Mm-hmm. Khalil Mack was having his way with Ryan Bulaga, you know, not just the plays itself, but then causing the false start penalty on Bulaga. And there was a lot of things where it was like, you know, it's not just Rodgers' absence. Like, yes, DeShone Kizer came in and looked really bad, but there was more to it than that. You know, there was a lot of things going wrong. And it was just one of those things, Bill, that you can't continue like this. You can't, needless to say, in all-time classic game like this, you can't have this happen every week and expect to have a good season, to need a comeback like that, to be trailing by 20, to need a quarterback performance that will go, you know, when Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, this is probably a top three Aaron Rodgers game, a top five. This is an all-timer, even for someone with as decorated as a resume as him. But you're right. I mean, I think there's some other encouraging things outside of Rodgers. The offensive line definitely stepped up in the second half. Jamal Williams, as a pass blocker, definitely stepped up in the second half. The Packers' defense, for the most part, it certainly wasn't glitch-free, it wasn't error-free, but had a very good second half for the most part. I thought the secondary, Jamal Williams played every snap. Kevin King played every snap. And they both looked good. I mean, Jaire Alexander and Josh Jacks were on the field about 75% of the time each. So I think you already started to see, no, they didn't make any big splash plays. Even I think one of the better plays of the night defensively was when Jaire Alexander had great coverage on Allen Robinson, who caught the ball anyway. It was just a really good catch that I thought Alexander played really well. So I think there's a lot of encouraging things defensively. But those first 20, 25, 30 minutes of football, the fans had every reason, in my opinion, to boo that team going into halftime because it wasn't just the Rodgers injury. There were a lot of things schematically, coaching-wise, that I just was scratching my head wondering what the heck Mike McCarthy and his staff were doing in the first half. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers saves the day and everything, at least for the moment, kind of maybe gets swept under the rug for a little bit.
Let's go with the defense first and foremost. What did you notice out of Mike Pettine's defense, specifically the differences between the first half and the second half? I noticed that the tackling was a little bit better. Guys seemed a little more sure of themselves. I liked what I saw out of the defensive secondary. You know, we would say that they didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, but they still ended up having sacks, four of them, as a matter of fact. One team sack. You had Kentrell Bryce, Mike Daniels, and if I'm not mistaken, Nick Perry had one as well. So, you know, it wasn't like they didn't get any pressure, but it wasn't consistent, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Well, yeah, and again, it is a matter of two halves of football. I mean, Matt Nagy was just that option play that Trubisky scored on his own and the touchdown. I mean, he made Clay Matthews look. Have you seen the replay of that, Bill? I don't know how many, like, where Matthews just goes right by him and completely was,
right.
was taken
whiffed.
To school by Trubisky. It was a real big whiff. Terrible whiff.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, this is just an individual play, and I don't want to, like, overly harp on it, but Clay Matthews also had the dumbest play of his career last night, right? That was next-level bad. Like, when he, and I don't care. Like, I get the NFL has definitely gotten softer than it used to be. That's a penalty in just about any era, when you take multiple steps and then club the quarterback kind of in the back of the neck. And on 4th and 13, that would have sealed the game. I don't even want to know the type of calls you'd have had today, you know, asking for Clay Matthews' release, had his, you know, had that play end up costing them the game. I just want to point that out first and foremost. Like, you know, I know he kind of owned up to it after the game with the media and everything, and that's great. But from as far as Mike Pettine and the scheme stuff, Bill, he waited until pretty late in the game to kind of start getting into some of his more exotic blitz packages. And then you saw a couple times, especially near the goal line and some of the big stands that the Packers had defensively late in that second half, where you know, they lined up a big front four, and then they dropped them and had the corners blitzing off the edge. And, yeah, there was the one that Josh Jackson totally whiffed on. Speaking of sack numbers, Josh Jackson should have had one. Mike Pettine dialed up a perfect sack opportunity that Josh Jackson missed on, but it still completely threw that Bears player for a loop. And there were a few things that I saw late in that game that made you say, oh, okay, you know, here comes sort of the patented Mike Pettine game scheming kind of, you know, game calling sort of thing. In the first half, I don't know if it was like, you know, a getting the feet wet situation, something where you just had to kind of get guys feeling out each other and everything like that. But there was a lot to be desired, because again, this wasn't just a Rodgers versus no Rodgers versus first half Rodgers, second half Rodgers. There was a lot wrong on both sides of the ball and defensively in the first half to give up as many points as they did, and even coming out in the second half and giving up the field goal drive to begin it. So it was far from a flawless showing, I think, for Mike Pettine in his debut. But once the game kind of got close, once the game got on the line in the fourth quarter, I thought there was some interesting stuff drawn up that gave some guys some good looks. And you talked about the sack that did happen, but there was also some ones where I think Pettine drew up a perfect play, and I mentioned the Josh Jackson one. That was a good corner blitz where both he and Alexander were coming off their separate edges on corner blitzes, and the guy just didn't make the play. But I think a B-minus, C-plus type of debut game, regular season game, for, I think, for Mike Pettine and his defense in week one.
Before I let you go, I want to talk about a couple of different things. First of all, the emergence of Geronimo Allison. We knew this guy had some ability.
Yeah.
We saw it again on display. We saw him in the preseason wow us. Are you real confident now that, and I know I am, that between Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, Geronimo Allison, they've got a really good wide receiving core right now. You know, now, knock on wood, they stay healthy, but they've got a really good wide receiving core. And Jimmy Graham took double teams and took coverages away from some of those guys, which really opened things up.
For sure. And I think, Bill, that each guy, I mean, the three guys you mentioned, Geronimo Allison, Cobb, and Devontae Adams, each had a play of their own that was a great highlight on their touchdown plays. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, your basic everyday touchdown. Cobb's was, of course, the highlight. The 50-yarder, you know, to Geronimo Allison was an incredible play. Not just, I mean, yes, the throw was right in his, you know, right in his, dropped right into the basket for Geronimo Allison, but that was still a really good one-on-one route and ability to get open and ability to catch a highly defended pass. And then, of course, Devontae Adams was really good, too. I mean, Bill, that is 1 through 3. This is what we knew. We knew 1 through 3 they were going to be pretty good. I think the most encouraging part to the initial part of your question was that Geronimo Allison looked so good, because we know what Cobb can do when he gets in space. We know how much Devontae Adams has emerged as a top, I don't know, top 10, top 12 receiver in the NFL. And like to your point about Jimmy Graham, I mean, he's not going to lead and light up the box score last night. Anybody who had him in fantasy football wasn't like, oh, this was a great, you know, individual performance by a guy. But he does command respect defensively, and you're going to have to kind of scheme to stop Jimmy Graham in the middle of the field, because he's such a target, he's such a threat. So, I think that is an interesting point. And then if you want to keep going down that wide receiver depth chart, we did have a couple questions answered last night. Who was the number four wide receiver last night? Marcus Valdez-Scantling. Did he play a lot? No, he only played two snaps. But if you want to know today, week one of the regular season, who was leading the, who was leading the pack to be the number four guy, the answer was Valdez-Scantling. And then Equanimeous St. Brown was active, but Jaymon Moore wasn't active. So there's your 4, 5, 6. Valdez-Scantling is as the four. Equanimeous St. Brown is the five. And then Jaymon Moore is the six. Of course, Trevor Davis came down with the hamstring late and got scratched. And we knew who the, with Kumerow on IR. So there's your eight guys. There's your pecking order. I don't know if the Packers want to find themselves in a situation where Allison or Cobb or Devontae Adams get hurt because, are any of those rookies really ready to step in and play significant snaps? Probably not. But I think there were a lot of interesting questions answered last night about that group, and each of the key three guys all stepped up in big ways on their touchdown plays.
Paul, always good. We'll chat again later in the week, and we're crossing our fingers. Nothing real serious with Aaron Rodgers' knee, and we'll discuss, okay?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.